There's nothing you and I can do about it. On the other extreme is that we're all supposed to have revival, and the only reason we don't have revival is because we're all disobedient and God wants revival now. And revival depends on us because it has already been given in God. And as a result, sometimes people put a lot of great effort, but their efforts do not work. And they realize that God has times and seasons that He reserved for Himself. So if something is not within His time frame of His bigger calendar, no matter what you do, it won't work. I'll give you a Bible example. Acts chapter 16. Paul wanted to go to Mysia and Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit says, no. Why? Isn't that against Matthew 28 verse 18 right on to 20 and Mark 16 verse 17 then 18 where He says go into all the world? He was going into all the world. But there's a time when a harvest is ripe. There's a time when the harvest is not yet ripe. And so the Holy Spirit forbade them. The Holy Spirit seems to be acting contrary to Matthew 28 and Mark 16. But He was not. For two reasons. Each place has its time. And each place has its chosen vessel. It won't be Paul. And the chosen vessel may not be ready. And a place won't be ready for the revival. So on the other extreme is a view that revival just depends on us. But you will find when you examine scriptures that the most balanced view of revival is revival depends on both God and us. So that sometimes you are 100% ready, but it's not the season yet. Because God has His bigger plan. God will bless you. If you're obedient, God will bless you as much as you can in that season for your life. But in the bigger season for the whole region, not yet. And you won't have the kind of revival yet. But you will be blessed. An example of a man like that is Simeon. Simeon lived before Jesus Christ started His ministry. Simeon was a faithful man. And God blessed him as much as He could. By allowing him to see baby Jesus. And when Simeon saw baby Jesus, he says, I'm ready to die. Oh, he hasn't seen the greater revival that is to come when Jesus comes. But he lived before Jesus. And he had his plan and purpose. His purpose was to prepare the way. In whatever way, in prayer or whatsoever. But that was God's plan for him. As for a major revival, it was not time yet. More scriptures. Didn't Jesus tell the disciples, don't go to the Gentiles? Why? Because it was not time yet. Why didn't Jesus start preaching at 12 years old, 15 years old, 21 years old? Why wait till 30? Because God has a timing. Now, don't you ever say Jesus was not ready. He was more ready at 12 than you and I could ever be. At 99, Jesus was ready. But the Father's timing was not ripe yet. So there is such a thing as God's timing. No, you can be ready, but it's not in the timing of God yet. Because God is bigger than us. Remember this. Those who find it hard to accept this, remember this. God is always smarter than you. Number two. God knows more than you. So you remember that, you will take a humble position and realize no matter all what you know, there's still some things you don't know. God doesn't reveal everything. So if God is smarter than you, God knows things better than you. So on the other hand, you could be ready, and yet the general timing is not right. On the opposite side, God could be ready. God wants to do something. But He looks down, there was not a single human being doing anything. Or obedient to Him. And so God can't do anything either because He needs to work through human vessels still. And so on this side, it will be God's timing. And so you know what God does? God begins to pick vessels. And there are times when he could bypass a disobedient vessel and pick another vessel to replace. And it's always that danger point there. Remember how many times he told Moses. He says, Moses, let me step aside. I will destroy all these Israelites I brought up from Egypt. And I'll start with you again. He actually said that in the Bible. Now, you have to believe this. God always means what he said. So it must be true. It must be real. It must be possible. Can you imagine? He was prepared to wipe out nearly 3 million people and start with Moses again. I mean, Moses is going to reproduce very fast to produce another 3 million people. And there's going to be some delay, right? But remember, time is immaterial to God. It's immaterial to God. It is doing what he wants to do. That's important to him. Time is only important on our side because we all have limited time. But for God, 1,000 years is just like a day. Yeah, that's all right. You know, I'll just delay half a day. But you and I, you know, that's a long lifetime. Many lifetimes have passed in 1,000 years. So it's to our disadvantage. And praise the Lord. So here, it is possible that God wants to do something, but people are so disobedient that God cannot work fully through them. And I believe in the time of the kings, God wanted the Israelites to maintain a kingdom of sufficient glory and honor like that of King David. But all the kings that came were disobedient, a lot of them. And so it goes down. When they did the right thing, the kingdom was blessed. So that sometimes when God is ready, humans are not ready. And so the balance position is to realize that it has to be in God's time, but it has to be our obedience too. And when God does a revival, revival is not 100% God. Revival is not 100% man. Revival is both 100% God flowing through 100% yielded vessel. That is the most sound theological view on revival. And since you can't do much about God's timing, we always must make sure we are 100% yielded all the time. But while we yield to God 100%, yet there's something in us that holds us back to say, God, I want to still flow with your timing. There's the kind of deflation of your ego and pride. To know that even though you are 100% ready, you say, God, I will hold back until you show your time. Then we realize that God is flowing through you. So that's the balanced view. In the same way, when it comes to the works of God, the grace of God, it's a cooperation between God and man at all points. Now, we were turning to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And in James chapter 5, in verse 17, talking about Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, if you and I read the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 3, where Elijah the Tishbite first appeared, there's no record of his prayer life. All you have is 1 Kings 17, verse 1 and 2, where Elijah the Tishbite came, walked to the king, and said, there will be no rain except according to my word. That's all. You have him appearing and declaring that powerful word. And here is the little consideration that we bring forth to you. Elijah had the power to stop the rain and to start the rain. It was a sign to all of the Israel at that time. It was a very powerful sign. The question that I have to ask is this. Was that sign from God? Or was it a result of just Elijah's desire?
Say, what sign? Stopping the rain.
Was it God who wanted to judge Israel and says, I am going to stop the rain? Elijah, go and tell the king that. Or was it that God never said anything and Elijah needed some sign of endowment of power? And he prayed to stop the rain. And then God says, all right, Elijah, I'll do it. He didn't actually say that way, of course, you know. We're just dramatizing a bit. You and I know God is not like that. But God says, all right, Elijah, I will do as you say. And then Elijah went forth, declared to the king. Now, here's a question I ask. Who initiated the stopping of rain? God or Elijah? Pardon? Okay. So, you're saying God and Elijah was merely listening to him, seeking God's face. Yes? Okay, so you saying, since Elijah prayed earnestly that it would not rain, it was Elijah initiating and God answering. Now, isn't that interesting? We're on a very simple topic here on who will stop the rain? God or man? Of course, in Australia, we're not going to stop the rain, right? Let it rain. So, who stopped the rain? Safe answer. Okay. Right. If it is both, who initiated it? Elijah initiated it. Elijah? Yes? Well, the man there with the sheepskin on his head say out loud. Right. Okay. God told Elijah what to pray. Very good point. Now, the main thing is, here we are figuring out who stopped the rain, right? And we realize that, you know, who initiated it? Here it says, God told Elijah what to pray. So you say, Elijah earnestly prayed. Let me take your question one step further. If it was God who wanted to stop the rain, why didn't he stop it? You answer your own question. Why didn't he stop it? He did. Yeah. And could he have done it through without a person? Okay, he could have, but he chose not to. And you know, sounds like those questions that that some people ask: could God have built something bigger than Himself? Well, that's a hypothetical question, right? For you students and all at the ANU and the University of Canberra, go and figure that out. Right? Come back with a 200-page thesis, right? Could God? Yeah. Yes. You were going to say something, Jim. We give you a few moments to collect your thoughts. Put your hand up when you got the thoughts together. Okay, I'll get back to you. Now, if God is God, He can do anything. Yes.
Mm.
God
That's right. That's right.